Well, look, it's not bad. I mean, things are improving all the time now. But, you know, in Kathmandu, we were not hit so badly as the outlying areas. You know, people coming here are, like, surprised at the condition that Kathmandu is in. You know, they thought it would be flattened, but it's not. It's the old buildings and the temples and the beautiful wooden structures that have been damaged. But the houses, not so much. Just the perimeter walls, badly built walls, those have sort of fallen down. But the houses, some cracks here, but not what you would expect of a city that's been hit by two big earthquakes.
So where exactly are you, Mike?
I'm working in Kathmandu. Well, I'm in Kathmandu now, in the sort of northern part, inside the ring road, close to the American Embassy in a guest house. But my usual place of work is on the, what used to be the Nepal-Tibet border. I guess now you call it the Nepal-Chinese border.
How is the situation there right now? Are you receiving any aid?
Very bad. Very bad. Very bad. I've been in touch with the guys, but you know, the normal GSM network is down, so I can only speak to them very erratically on what's called a CDMA network. And it's a network that was developed by the army years ago in Nepal here that works in the hilly areas and the difficult-to-reach areas. So that sort of works, but it's very erratically. And they've had landslides there. We've had collapses in our tunnels. It's, like, really bad. We've had a few deaths there, I think four deaths. Quite a few Chinese guys injured. It's a Chinese contractor, and they're all vacating the site. The site itself is probably about, it's all split up, the site, but let's say 5 or 6 kilometers from the Chinese border, the old Tibet border. So some of them started walking today, assisted by the Chinese army with walkways, because parts of the road are gone. There's landslides, and they're walking. And then tomorrow, I think the rest of the Chinese contractor will walk across the border, and I have no idea when things will start again. So it's really bad. There's no power, there's no water, there's no access. It's just dreadful.
So how many of your workers are actually affected by this earthquake?
Well, look, I mean, they've got about 220 Chinese guys on the project, and they've got about 500 Nepali workers. Now, the Chinese guys, as I say, they've been instructed by the Chinese government and by the embassy, and by the head office, in fact, also, that's Sinohydro. They've instructed them, they've got to vacate and get out. And so that's what they're doing over the next day or two. And the Nepali guys are basically, you know, they're tough guys. What they're doing is they're busy walking out, you know, trying to get back to wherever they come from, different parts of Kathmandu and different parts of Nepal, for that matter. So at this stage, it's, you know, there's no road. All the roads are closed, certainly to our site. And people are going back to basics. They're walking along cattle paths and, you know, goat paths, and slowly streaming back to where they come from, to most of them coming to villages that have been absolutely flattened, because the construction here is not so much mortar and brick. It's like stone. They chisel stone and they sort of fit them, you know, on top of each other, like the old masons in Zimbabwe used to do and things like that. And you know, with the tremor, these things literally just shook themselves to pieces. So it's really bad. I mean, some villages are literally flattened. Others have been taken out by landslides. Some villages have slid down with the landslides. It's bloody chaos, I tell you.
So now, are you the only person with Zimbabwean roots who is actually in Nepal right now?
That I can't tell you. I don't even think Zim has an embassy here. You know, certainly the company I work for, SMEC, Snowy Mountain Engineering Corporation, it's mostly Australians, and I've sort of been living in South Africa since 1982, after I finished my schooling in Zim, and then I went down there. So, yeah, as far as I know, I'm the only Zimbo here. Obviously, there's a couple of South Africans, you know, NGOs and those sort of people, but as far as Zimbo goes, no, I haven't met anyone here from Zim yet.
So can we safely say that you are okay and you are about to be evacuated?
Well, look, what's happening is that until my guys get here from site, because we've instructed them now, we said we've tried three different helicopter companies. We've even tried government contacts to influence the army to send a helicopter there to get our guys. And the army has basically commandeered all helicopters, even private firms, and have instructed them who goes where, and they're only evacuating seriously injured people. That's it. There's been incidents of where people who are not injured have tried to get on helicopters, and the villagers have got very angry and started throwing stones. One helicopter pilot was beaten up. One flight engineer was also beaten up by the locals. So now the helicopter companies are strictly only evacuating badly injured people. And as I say, it's all being controlled by the Relief Coordination Center, the RCC, I think that's what they're called. So it's all being very strictly controlled. There's zero chance of getting my guys out. We've got the message through to them, guys, start walking, and we'll pick you up. There's a small town where we can still get our 4x4s to. So we're going to pick them up there. And when they're safely in Kathmandu, only then will I consider going out, because it's not fair that the moment the poo hits the fan, that all the expats jump up and get the hell out of the country. So, no, I will leave with my last guys safely back in Kathmandu.
So you said, what is the name of the dam that we're actually constructing?
It's not. It's a hydropower project, and it's called the Rasuwagadi Hydroelectric Project. Rasuwagadi Hydroelectric Project, and it's on the Nepal-Chinese border, north of Kathmandu.
Do you think the situation is normalizing there?
No. Hell. They are. There's also some bloody politics getting involved here, you know, because what's happening is, for some bizarre reason, the Nepal government has not given permission for the New Zealand Search and Rescue Service and the Japanese Search and Rescue Service to come here and help, which is bizarre considering that New Zealand and Japan are two countries that have both, you know, suffered severe earthquakes and have therefore probably the most experienced and best equipped countries to do this sort of thing. You know, at the moment there's been a hell of a lot of effort in Kathmandu, in and around the Kathmandu Valley, but the real problems are outside. You know, the first quake, which was 7.8, is about 80 kilometers west of Kathmandu, sort of northwest, and then the next one we had was, I don't know, 60 or 70 kilometers sort of east of Kathmandu, and out there, that's where the locals have been really hammered, you know, and of course, with all the earth tremors, they're scared to go back into the buildings that are still standing for fear of those collapsing, so they're sleeping outside and under sheets and tarpaulins and under tents, and, you know, there's no water, there's no food, they're running out of food, there's injured people. So the next thing that is going to start happening now is disease, you know, typhoid, cholera, and dysentery. That's the next big thing that's going to start happening here. So if you ask me, is it under control, I would say there's still a long way to go before they've got a handle on it.